This week, do we need to take food supplements? Is there actually any real benefit to loading ourselves up on what can be very expensive supplements, or can we all just get it from our diet? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain. This week we're talking supplements. And since having cancer, I have been ultra health conscious and doing a lot of reading about what we need to support our health and basically trying to make sure that for me, the bastarding thing doesn't come back again. But I've always been interested and a bit confused, to be honest, about supplements. I mean, if you go into a pharmacy or a Holland and Barrett or whatever, there are dozens of types, many of them packaged to look really appealing and promising to heal every part of you that has potentially ever ached. But when you actually then look at what's in them and the levels of the nutrients you actually want and need, well, it can vary quite a bit, and shopping for them could be overwhelming. Even miring yourself in the research you need to shop about them intelligently can be overwhelming as well. So this week, it's a pretty simple question. Do we need supplements, or is it a marketing con from an industry that was worth $177 billion last year? Now, lots of that was in the US, where on average 38% of people take a daily supplement of some kind. It's about 26% globally, which is much closer to the Irish figures. The Food Safety Authority says that 22% of Irish men and 33% of Irish women take a daily supplement. And my two guests today have pretty differing views on this. Firstly, Joanna De Silva. She is the Chief Specialist in Nutrition with Safe Food Ireland. Do we need nutritional supplements?
We don't, Sean. So most people do not need food supplements, and our diets provide all the nutrients that we need. And that's why it's so important that we have a varied diet with plenty of foods from different groups, and that we give special attention to the amount of fruit and vegetables that we include in our diets.
Okay, very definitive there. Una O'Hagan is a pharmacist and head of the Mars Pharmacy Group. What do you think? Can we get it all from food?
Well, I think in an ideal world, that is absolutely true and factual. However, we're not eating the way that we should be eating. We're definitely not consuming a balanced diet. 95% of us not eating enough fiber. And also the big problem here is that our food today in this modern world doesn't have the same level of nutrients in it as it would have had years ago. And so what you think that you're eating and you're assuming has all of these nutrients, unfortunately, 9 out of 10 times doesn't have that.
That's actually a topic we explored in a good bit more detail in a previous podcast, which you can scroll back in the feed to find out more on. That with Una and a farmer as well, who is producing veg in Cork. But we should say there are some caveats to the no supplements side of things. Joanna De Silva, what should people absolutely be supplementing with?
Yes. So at the population level, there are two key supplements that we do need to take. And so those are vitamin D, and everyone should take a vitamin D supplement for bone and muscle health. And the amount that we need depends on a lot of factors, including our age, our skin tone, our situation, if we live with a medical condition, if we cover our skin for cultural or religious reasons, and the time of the year, the season. But it's very important that we do take vitamin D. Now, the message is a bit complex, and I'll try to give you all the detail for your listeners to be able to either buy and take the required amount for themselves or for their children. When we talk about babies under the age of one, so from birth to 1 year of age, babies need a supplement providing 5 micrograms of vitamin D every day if they are exclusively breastfed, or if they are taking less than 300 mils of infant formula per day.
And then for, for other children who are a little bit older, and then for the adult population, how does it go up?
So once we look into toddlers between the age of 1 to 4, let's think about the season. So they only need it for the winter months. And a good way to remind this is between Halloween, 31st of October, and Patrick's Day, 17th of March. And they also need 5 micrograms of vitamin D every day during that time of the year. When the child is older, so between the age of 5 and 12, again, we stick to winter months, so Halloween to St. Patrick's, but we go up to 10 micrograms of vitamin D. Now, the caveat is for children in that age gap, in that age group that have reduced sun exposure or darker skin, they should actually up that to 10 micrograms of supplements all year round, so every day. Every woman during pregnancy needs a 10 microgram supplement every day, so regardless of the time of the year. When we then look at the older population, someone aged 65 and over, the recommendation is for a supplement of 15 micrograms every day. And often in this age group, you see people that have been recommended multivitamins by their healthcare professionals, by a general practitioner or a dietitian. So they can be taking this as a multivitamin supplement that contains 15 micrograms of vitamin D, a calcium and vitamin D supplement that contains 15 micrograms of vitamin D, or a plain vitamin D-only supplement that contains the 15 micrograms.
So the other one that you would recommend taking for certain people, folic acid.
Folic acid, so a very important supplement to take. And everyone, all people who could become pregnant, including those that are taking contraception, should take a 400 microgram supplement of folic acid every day. And this is going to prevent or help prevent neural tube defects. We do need all of us about 200 micrograms of folic acid a day. You do, I do. We can get most of that from green leafy vegetables, for example, like the spinach, kale, broccoli, cabbage. We can get some from peas and beans, from whole grains. Some foods are fortified with folic acid, of course, but it isn't possible for those that could become pregnant to get the extra 400 micrograms that they need during that period. So it's very important that everyone that could become pregnant, including those taking contraception, take a 400 micrograms supplement. And it's very affordable. Folic acid is actually very affordable.
There are also some other exceptions. So, for example, if you're like me and you don't eat meat or dairy, you're going to have to find some of the minerals you would otherwise get from other places. Now, one thing I've really wondered about is the quality of the supplements you get, because you can go down to Lidl and get a bottle of vitamin D supplements very cheaply, and then you can go to a pharmacy and spend four or five or six times the price on another vitamin D supplement. Interestingly, again, my guests had very different views on this. So is there a difference in the quality, Joanna?
No, and there are regulations in relation to the supplements that are sold in Ireland, and our colleagues at the Food Safety Authority of Ireland do a great job at regulating and monitoring that. What is important is to get the quantities right, the dosage right. And that is a discussion that people should have with their healthcare professionals, including their pharmacists, if they are buying at the pharmacies. And what I will say is the pharmacy does stock a huge variety of brands, and people will be able to find more affordable ones.
Does that hold true then for supplements that are not just vitamin D, that these ones that are marketed to us much more expensively, they're actually not any better for you or worse for you?
No, if we include all the food groups in our diets, we should be able to meet all our needs for vitamins and minerals. And we often associate the word supplement with vitamins. It's actually vitamins and minerals that we get from our diet and are important. Of course, if someone has anemia, they will need an iron supplement if it is an iron-related type of anemia. But that is something that is done under the supervision and advice of a healthcare professional, like a registered dietitian or a general practitioner, for example.
Una O'Hagan, though, has a very different view.
100%. There's a massive difference. And unfortunately, it's a very unregulated space. And so there can be things, there can be vitamins in certain supplements that, you know, says it contains vitamin D or vitamin C or whatever, tick the box to say it contains that, but the dose in that product can be so minute, you know, they're ticking the box to say it's actually in there, but it could be it's so little that it would actually make no therapeutic difference whatsoever if you were to consume it. So I think people need to be aware of a few things here. The form of the vitamin, that's the first thing. Is it synthetic? Is it natural? Because again, that makes a big difference. Sometimes you know, we're consuming, I suppose, forms of vitamins that are from the petrochemical industry, you know, as opposed to from a natural source. So the form is really important. The dosage is really important because, again, if it's such a trace level just to tick a box, it's not going to have any effect in your body whatsoever. Then I think the delivery system is really important, Sean, as well, because sometimes we consume vitamins and they're not on the right delivery system. They will never, ever get into the cells in our body in the form that they're actually in. So, and again, good example of that that I talked about in terms of that microbiome is Simproof. You know, it gets the bacteria to the large intestine to actually get to work. And we see a huge now surge in liposomal delivery of vitamins, but where they use a little phospholipid layer to protect the vitamin as it's going through the intestinal tract so that it actually can improve the delivery system up to four times by wrapping it in a liposome. But also, I think the synergistic effect of the blend of vitamins is really important as well. So sometimes you have a multivitamin blend, but actually you could be missing, you know, a micronutrient that is a catalyst to get those vitamins to actually work. A good example of that would be something like piperine. So that is almost like the little key that unlocks the door to get coenzyme Q10 to work. And coenzyme Q10 is a really powerful antioxidant. It's a coenzyme that is naturally occurs in all of our cells in our body, but depletes with age. And so you often see coenzyme Q10 in products, you know, for over 40s, that'll give you a bit of energy. But actually, if you blend it with something like piperine, it will work so much more effectively because piperine is needed to actually unlock the effects of coenzyme Q10. So it's about the synergistic effect of some of these things, the quality, the form of the ingredients, the dosage of it, and also the delivery system. So yes, there is a vast difference between one on a shelf. You know, you could see, for example, fish oil for €30, and you could also see one for €5. What makes the difference? Well, it's usually the extraction process of those fatty acids that would be the difference in that. But again, a multivitamin or a vitamin D, like any fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, should really be in a fat-soluble delivery system so that's a better absorption. And, you know, and so we'd always advocate for, say, a vitamin D suspended in olive oil rather than a vitamin D that's in a tablet form. You know, doesn't make sense, you know. So the I suppose it's really important to ask those questions, I suppose. And I would always say to people, you know, it can be overwhelming even for us in pharmacy, you know, when you're standing there in front of all the vitamins and kind of go, this is overwhelming. Always ask the question. Never feel like a stupid question. You know, that's what we're here for in pharmacy.
Okay, so Joanna from Safe Food, I want to test a little bit more with some of the more common supplements.
What if a vitamin C is a supplement, then a lot of people would take it in a, I don't know, Barocca or whatever else, whatever other form do you need to?
You don't need to. So we should get plenty from our diet. And there are great sources of vitamin C that include citrus fruits like oranges, orange juice, if you prefer, in your smoothie. With your smoothie, peppers, strawberries, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, even potatoes have some vitamin C. So, and we love potatoes in Ireland, so there is no need at all for a food supplement, for a vitamin C supplement if you have a varied diet.
Another big one you see is omega 3 or 6 or 9 or all the different numbers that they throw at us.
Again, all of those we can get from oily fish, and we do recommend a portion of oily fish a week in our dietary guidelines. Nuts and seeds would be a good source too. So definitely no need. Sean, if this is a game, I'm going to tell you, with the exception of vitamin D and folic acid, I'm going to say no to all of those. We're always going to find a good source of foods. We're always going to find foods that are a good source for that micronutrient. What I will say, and this is another caveat, is that those following a vegan diet should discuss the need for supplements like vitamin B12, for example, with their healthcare professional. That is something that I would definitely recommend because the sources of vitamin B12 are from an animal source. So it's very hard for those following a vegan diet to meet the requirements for vitamin B12, and definitely check that, talk to your GP or to a registered dietitian about the possibility of including that supplement in your diet.
I won't go through my full list of ones then, because I feel we'll get the same answer. But is there a difference in how the body absorbs nutrients and minerals from whole foods compared to how it does from a supplement? Like, is the absorption better from just eating a better diet anyway?
Yes. So we talk about something, we talk about bioavailability. And that relates to our foods or nutrients. We don't absorb full foods. Of course, we absorb nutrients, are absorbed. And even within foods, the bioavailability can be different. And a good example is iron, for example. We have very good vegetable sources of iron, but it's not absorbed in the same way as we absorb iron coming from animal sources, for example. We actually recommend, if people get most of their iron from a vegetable source, to include a vitamin C rich food at the same time, because it helps with the absorption of iron. And it's the same with the multivitamins or vitamins or supplements that we may take. The bioavailability is usually lower. So we may actually be buying something that we are going to eliminate through our urine and that we don't need at all.
Is that why, not to get too into the urine analogy, but if you do have something like a big vitamin C, I mean, you notice it in the colour that's coming out.
Expensive pee?
Expensive pee indeed. So we will give the final word to Una O'Hagan. And I was conscious in doing the interview that she is a pharmacist and does make money from supplements being sold, though she has given a very reasoned account of why we need them. So how does that process work? Do companies pitch you supplements, and how do you test and screen whether they're good or not?
Yeah. People pitch us products all of the time, and we screen them, absolutely. And I mean, I suppose it's really important, particularly in pharmacy, when, you know, we're qualified. It's particularly important to advocate for products that actually have clinical evidence behind them. And that's why, particularly when it comes to social media, there's a lot of noise out there, I guess, Sean, a lot of misinformation. So it's important to be a trusted voice in all of that noise and to bring it back to basics and to always look for the clinical evidence. And as I said, it's so important to me that the clinical evidence is produced by a third party, that it's, and the supplement is, you know, is produced in a manufacturing company that is using good manufacturing processes that you can stand over. I love advocating for Irish brands because at least you know the team behind it. You know where it's been made. You know, you can go and see the factory and so on and so forth. And that's why we always advocate for Irish brands if they have that high quality process behind them. And we have some of the best high quality products here in the island of Ireland that can compete in any global stage, to be honest with you. So for me, it's important to know the people behind it, to know the evidence, to know the clinical evidence, to know it's third party, to know it's good manufacturing process. And as pharmacists, I think we're the gatekeepers to know who's pitching into us and to make sure what's on our shelves are of a good high quality that we could stand over as pharmacists to recommend.
So there you go. Two quite different opinions, but I think the takeaways are, yes, you can get all you need from a healthy diet, but it's increasingly hard to do that. And you perhaps have to put in more work and energy into figuring out the right balance of food than is practical on the busy schedule that most of us have. That's it for Let Me Explain this week. I will be back with you next week, Budget Week, when we will also have a special coming from Emma Tyrrell, who has been producing something in the background. So we will chat to you next week.